This is Roy Neal. The flight of Apollo 11 is now history. Three men, Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, and Michael Collins, turned man's dream into reality as they flew off to the moon and landed, explored, took off, and came home. This is their flight log, recorded by their own voices as they lived the mission and reported its dramatic moments in conversation with Apollo Control. Day one, July 16, 1969, 9:32 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time at the Kennedy Spaceport.
30 seconds and counting. Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Giant stack of the Saturn Apollo, 363 feet of gleaming white equipment being pushed up through the blue skies of Florida by the force of the first stage engine, 7.5 million pounds of thrust, sending Apollo 11 on its way toward space. The commander, Neil Armstrong, civilian, 38 years old, veteran test pilot, making his second journey into space, leaving his wife and two sons behind as he sets out on man's greatest adventure. With him, Edwin Aldrin, nickname Buzz, the lunar module pilot, a 39-year-old lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force. Aldrin also making his second space voyage, married, the father of three children, two sons and a daughter. The command module pilot is Michael Collins, age 38, also an Air Force lieutenant colonel going into space for the second time, the father of two young daughters and a son.
We're predicting third stage shutdown at 11 minutes 42 seconds. Velocity 25,254 feet per second. Downrange 1,400 miles now. Altitude 102.8 nautical miles.
Shutdown.
Shutdown right on time.
101.4 by 103.6.
Roger, shut down, and we copy 101.4 by 103.6.
They are in orbit, spinning round the world at a speed of 17,000 miles an hour, at an altitude of more than 100 miles. Once around the world and halfway round again, finally, as the spacecraft flies over the Pacific Ocean, Mission Control Communicator Bruce McCandless talks to the crew as the third stage engine is fired a second time and they are outward bound.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Slightly less than 1 minute to ignition and everything is go.
Roger. Ignition.
We confirm ignition and the thrust is go.
Guidance looking good. Velocity 26,000 feet per second.
Apollo 11, this is Houston at 1 minute. Trajectory and guidance look good and the stage is good. Over.
Coming up on 27,000 feet per second. Telemetry and radar tracking both solid. Velocity 27,800 feet per second.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Thrust is good. Everything's still looking good.
Roger.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. We show cutoff and we copy the numbers and now 62.
Houston, Apollo 11, that Saturn gave us a magnificent ride.
With the Earth receding, growing smaller behind them, moving at a speed now of 25,000 miles an hour, the crew separates from the third stage, maneuvers, docks with, and extracts the lunar module. The first day in space is nearing its end. Here is the voice of Mission Control.
This is Apollo Control at 11 hours, 29 minutes into the flight of Apollo 11. We don't expect to hear a great deal more from the crew tonight. At about 11 hours, 20 minutes, We said goodnight to them from Mission Control. They're beginning their sleep period about 2 hours early. The additional time available for sleep was made available by deleting the mid-course correction. This is Apollo Control at 11 hours, 32 minutes.
Day 2, July 17th.
This is Apollo Control at 22 hours, 49 minutes ground elapsed time. Crew has been awake for some time, according to the surgeon, spacecraft communicator here in Mission Control with the green team. Bruce McCandless is standing by to make a call to the crew. He's in the process of taking over from Ron Evans. Flight Director Cliff Charlesworth has asked that he make a call to the crew. We're standing by for this call momentarily.
Apollo 11, Apollo 11. This is Houston, over.
Morning, Houston. Apollo 11.
Roger, Apollo 11. Good morning. If you're interested in the morning news, I've got a summary here from PAO, over.
Okay, we're all listening.
Okay, from Jodrell Bank, England, via AP. Britain's Big Jodrell Bank radio telescope stopped receiving signals from the Soviet Union's unmanned moonshot at 5:49 EDT today, and a spokesman said that it appeared that the Luna 15 spaceship, quote, has gone beyond the moon, unquote. Another quote, we don't think it has landed, said a spokesman for Sir Bernard Lovell, director of the observatory. Washington, UPI, Vice President Spiro T. Agnew has called for putting a man on Mars by the year 2000. But Democratic leaders replied that priority must go to needs on Earth. By United Press International, initial reaction to President Nixon's granting of a holiday Monday to federal employees so they could observe a national day of participation in the Apollo 11 moon landing mission mostly was one of surprise. Hempstead, New York. Joe Namath officially reported to the New York Jets training camp at Hofstra University Wednesday following a closed-door meeting with his teammates over his differences with Pro Football Commissioner Peter Roselli. Over.
Roger. Thank you, Bruce.
And so the day begins, with the news of the day being read to men who are making history. It's now 34 hours after liftoff. We're waiting for a television transmission.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston. We got the network all configured for the TV. You can start anytime you want, over. Okay, 11, we have a picture. We see the Earth right in the center of the screen, over.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 11. Calling in from about 130,000 miles out. And we'll zoom our camera in slowly. Get the most magnification we can, over.
Roger.
This view is coming to us from about 129,000 nautical miles.
Eleven, Houston, the definition is pretty good on our monitor here. The color's not too varsity, at least on this set. Could you describe what you're looking at, over?
Roger, you're seeing Earth as we see it at our left-hand window, just a little more than a half Earth. We're looking at the eastern Pacific Ocean, and the north half of the, top half of the screen, we can see North America, Alaska, United States, Canada, Mexico, and Central America.
11, Houston, if you could comply, we'd like to see some smiling faces up there. If you could give us some interior views, I'm sure everybody would like to see you, over.
Okay, we'll reconfigure the TV for that.
Roger. Now we're coming in. Can't quite make out who that is. That's Big Mike Collins there.
Well, you got a little bit of... Yeah, hello there, sports fans. You got a little bit of me, plus Neil's in the center couch, and Buzz is doing the camera work this time.
Is Buzz holding your cue cards for you? 11, Houston, you copy, over.
Roger, we copy.
And
out to the distance at which we see the Earth, we'll have Apollo 11 signing off.
Day 3, July 18th.
Apollo 11, this is Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, I've got the morning news here if you're interested, over.
Yeah, we sure are. We're ready to copy and comment.
That's 2:30 there?
Roger. Okay, here we go. The interest in the flight of Apollo 11 continues at a high level, but a competing interest in the Houston area is the easing of watering rules. Mayor Louis Welch promises the lifting of lawn watering restrictions if the rains continue. Friday is partly cloudy and there is a 30% chance of thunder showers in the afternoon. In sports, the Houston Oilers are showing plenty of enthusiasm in their early preseason workouts at Kerrville, and Coach Wally Lem says he is impressed with the fine group of rookies. And in Corby, England, an Irishman, John Coyle, has won the World Porridge Eating Championship by consuming 23 bowls of instant oatmeal in a 10-minute time limit from a field of 35 other competitors. Over.
I'd like to enter Aldrin in the oatmeal eating contest next time.
See, pretty good at that.
He's doing his share up here.
55 hours and 35 minutes into the mission, the astronauts are preparing to go into the LEM. The event is being televised back to Earth.
LEM in Houston, we're really amazed at the quality of the picture up in the tunnel. It's really superb, over.
That is, considering the amount of light up in there.
Roger, we're about to open the hatch now.
Right.
There's that same guy that when you open up the doorway, he's waiting there for you and he turns the lights on.
How about that? It's like the refrigerator.
That conversation between Charlie Duke and Mike Collins referring to the automatic light that comes on in the LEM when the hatch is opened.
11 Houston, Bussy already in? Over.
Right, I'm halfway in. I'm going to start turning around, I guess.
Buzz Aldrin reporting that he's halfway into the LEM. This view is inside the LEM cabin.
We had a view, Buzz, of the utility light cord.
Now, let me show you a view looking the other way.
Right. And we see right now a utility light or either a floodlight up there. But I think now I see the utility light still in the storage bag. Hey, that's a great shot right there. We see you in there. Guess that's Neil and Mike. Better be, anyway.
And we're going to turn our TV monitor off now for a short bit while we have some other work to do. Apollo 11 signing off.
The crew is bedded down for the night, and here's an announcement from Mission Control.
This is Apollo Control at 61 hours, 39 minutes. We've had no further conversation with the crew since our last report. Flight surgeon says there is no indication at this time that they have begun to sleep, but we expect they'll be getting to sleep here shortly. Coming up in less than 10 seconds now, we'll be crossing into the sphere of influence of the moon. A computational changeover will be made here in Mission Control. At this point, as the moon's gravitational force becomes the dominant effect on the spacecraft trajectory, and our displays will shift from Earth reference to moon reference. At 61 hours, 41 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Day 4 in the flight log of Apollo 11, July 19th. The crew is observing the moon.
The view of the moon that we've been having recently is really spectacular. It fills about three-quarters of the hatch window, and of course we can see the entire circumference, even though part of it is in complete shadow and part of it's in Earth shine. It's a view worth the price of a trip.
Well, there are a lot of us down here that would be willing to come along.
Well, that was Neil Armstrong.
I hope you get your turn, and soon. My Dave will be able to bring the whole bunker along, I hope. Save a lot of antenna switches.
That's Charlie.
The Moker is the Mission Operations Control Room. It's the control center here.
LOI, Lunar Orbit Insertion. The burn for lunar orbit was made while the spacecraft was out of contact on the far side of the moon. We're waiting now for the signal to be reacquired at the Madrid, Spain tracking station as it comes around.
Madrid AOS. Madrid AOS. Telemetry indicates that the crew is working on the antenna angles to bring the high-gain antenna to bear.
Apollo 11, Apollo 11, this is Houston. How do you read?
Reading you loud and clear, Houston. How are you?
Roger, reading you the same now. Could you repeat your burn status report?
It was like perfect.
Roger. And the spacecraft is looking good to us on telemetry.
Roger, everything looks good up here.
Apollo 11 is in lunar orbit, an elliptical orbit. A second burn will bring it down into a near circular one about 60 miles above the surface. We're waiting for the crew to report the status of that second burn.
Apollo 11, Houston, we're standing by. Over.
VGY minus 0.0. VGZ minus 0.1, Delta VC minus 5.2, fuel 362, aux 364, unbalanced plus 50, and our post-burn now 94s, 66.1 by 54.4, go ahead.
Roger, copy the burn report, sounds good.
You heard that report from Commander Neil Armstrong indicating that LOI-2 came off almost precisely as planned. This is Apollo Control Houston at 87 hours, 31 minutes, now into the flight Apollo 11. The Apollo 11 spacecraft continues on its front side pass above the moon. We're now less than 10 minutes away from a loss of signal. The Apollo 11 crew and currently in their rest period. We've received no indication yet that any of the three crew members are actually sleeping, although all three appear to be in a very restful mode. This will be the final sleep period for the crew. Now at the threshold of their prime mission objective, the final sleep period prior to landing on the lunar surface and returning. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Day number 5, July 20, 1969, the big day. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are aboard the lunar module, which they have codenamed Eagle. Mike Collins is alone in the command and service module, codenamed Columbia.
Hello, Eagle Houston. We're standing by. Over. Eagle Houston, we see you on the steerable. Over.
Roger, Eagle. Time dot.
Roger. How does it look?
The Eagle has wings.
Roger.
Looking good.
Like you got a fine-looking flying machine there, Eagle, despite the fact you're upside down.
Somebody's upside down.
The two spacecraft are flying in formation. Once around the moon, an Eagle with Armstrong and Aldrin aboard fires its engine to start the descent. Communication is reestablished as they come out from behind the moon.
Columbia, Houston, over.
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear, how me?
Roger, bye-bye, Mike. How did it go, over?
Listen, baby, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle.
Okay, he's coming along.
We have acquisition of signal from the LEM.
Houston, Eagle, how do you read?
Bye-bye, Eagle. We're standing by for your burn report. Over.
Roger. The burn was on time. Residuals. Minus 0.1, minus 0.2, minus 0.7. And we used the things down 86 for Delta VZ, which was 9.5, versus yours, which was 9.1, and I believe that may explain the difference. Apogee, 57.2. Perilune, 9.1. Sun check, the three marks, down 20, minus down 22, plus 0.19, plus 0.11. Over.
Right, copy. Looks great.
Guidance says we're a go. Now 12 minutes, 54 seconds to ignition. Gene Kranz just advised his flight controllers we're off to a good start. Play it cool.
The final descent.
Eagle, Houston, you're a go.
At 4 minutes.
Roger, you're a go to continue power descent. You're a go to continue power descent.
Roger.
Altitude 40,000.
At the Earth, right out our front window. Houston, you're looking at our Delta H.
That's affirmative.
Program alarm.
Looking good to us, over.
1202.
Good radar data. Altitude now 33,500 feet.
Give us a reading on the 1202 program alarm.
Roger, we got you. We're going at alarm.
Throttle down on time.
Roger, copy. Throttle down.
Throttle down. Set him in the simulator.
Roger.
Action things look real close.
Altitude now 21,000 feet. Still looking very good. Velocity down now to 1,200 feet per second.
You're looking great to us, Eagle.
Altitude 13,005. Velocity 9,100 feet per second.
Made it switch over time, please, you.
Roger, stand by. You're looking great at 8 minutes.
Correction on that velocity. Now reading 760 feet per second.
Eagle, you're looking great. Coming up 9 minutes.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Altitude 5,200 feet.
Manual attitude control is good.
Roger, copy.
Altitude 4,200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
Roger, understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet.
Copy.
Alarm. 1201. 1201.
Roger, 1201 alarm. We're go. Same type. We're go.
2,000 feet. 2,000 feet. Into the ag. 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
Eagle looking great. Your go.
Altitude 1600. 1400 feet. Still looking very good.
Roger. 1202. We copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees. 750. Coming down to 23. 700 feet. 21 down. 33 degrees. 100 feet down at 19. 540 feet down at 30, down at 15. Okay, 400 feet down at 9. Gate forward. 150 feet down at 4. 33 and a half down. They're pegged on horizontal velocity. 300 feet down, 3.5. 47 forward. Hold up. Down 1.5 down. 70. Got the shadow out there. 50 down at 2.5. 19 forward. Altitude, velocity, light, 3.5 down, 220 feet, 13 forward, 11 forward, coming down nicely, 200 feet, 4.5 down, 5.5 down, 160 feet, 6.5 down, 5.5 down, 9 forward, that's good, 120 feet. 100 feet, 3.5 down, 9 forward. 5%. 185. Okay, 75 feet. Car's looking good, down a half. 6 forward.
60 seconds.
Lights on. 6. Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Straight shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward, drifting to the right a little. 20, down a half.
30 seconds.
Forward, just dust. Okay. 8. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Both control, both auto, decent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
102 hours, 45 minutes, and 45 seconds. And mark well the date. July 20, 1969, man is on the moon. Eagle has landed. The landing is in the Sea of Tranquility, Mare Tranquillitatis. And so the Eagle becomes Tranquility Base.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto-targeting was taking us right into a football field-sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about one or two crater diameters around it. And it required us going in P-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Roger, we copy. It was beautiful from here. Tranquility, be advised, there are lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world, over.
There are two of them up here.
Roger, it was a beautiful job, you guys.
And don't forget one in the command module.
108 hours and 21 minutes, ground elapsed time. The astronauts are preparing for EVA, extravehicular activity. They plan to take an historic walk on the moon.
Houston, this is Tranquility. We're standing by for a go for cabin depress. Over.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. You are go for cabin depressurization. Go for cabin depressurization.
Roger, thank you.
Neil, this is Houston. What's your status on hatch opening?
Over. Everything is go here. We're just waiting for the cabin pressure to bleed to a low enough pressure to open the hatch. It's about 0.1 on our gauge now.
Neil, this is Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, we're showing a relatively static pressure on your cabin. Do you think you can open the hatch at this pressure, about 0.12 PSI?
We're going to try it. The hatch is coming open. Okay, your visor.
Okay, your back is up against the perch. And now it's on top of the disky. Forward and up. Now you're clear. A little bit toward me. Get you lined up nicely. I move.
Armstrong, a strange space-suited figure in white. Life support pack on his back coming
clear.
Out now on his stomach. Feet first.
Up on the platform.
Okay, Houston, I'm on the porch.
Roger, Neil.
Did you get the mesa out?
I'm going to pull it now. Houston, the mesa came down. All right.
Houston, roger. We copy, and we're standing by for your TV. And we're getting a picture on the TV. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. The LAM footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. Although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. I'm going to step off the LAM now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
There seems to be no difficulty in moving around as we suspected. Absolutely no trouble to walk around. Descent engine did not leave a crater of any size. It has about 1 foot clearance on the ground. We're essentially on a very level place here. Looking up at the LAM, I'm standing directly in the shadow now, looking up at both in the windows, and I can see everything quite clearly. The light is sufficiently bright, backlighted into the front of the LAM, that everything is very clearly visible. I'll step out and take some of my first pictures here.
Roger, Neil, we're reading you loud and clear. Let's see, getting some pictures and the contingency, Sam. Neil, this is Houston. Did you copy about the contingency sample, over?
All right, you're going to get to that just as soon as I finish these picture series.
Okay, going to get the contingency sample there.
Right. That's very interesting. It's a very soft surface, but here and there where I plug with the contingency sample collector, I run into very hard surface, but it appears to be very cohesive material of the same sort. Try to get a rock in here. Get a couple.
Okay, you ready for me to come out?
Yeah, just stand by a second. I'll move this over the handrail. Okay.
All right, that's got it. Are you ready?
All set. Okay, you saw what difficulties I was having. I'll try to watch your plits from underneath here.
How far are my feet from the
edge? Okay, you're right at the edge of the porch.
Okay. Small little foot movement. Arching of the back. Helmet comes up and clears the bulkhead without any trouble at all.
That's good.
Now I want to back up and partially close the hatch, making sure not to lock it on my way out.
Particularly good thought.
That's our home for the next couple hours. We want to take good care of it. Okay, I'm on the top step, and I can look down over the RCU and landing gear pad. It's a very simple matter to hop down from one step to the next.
Yes, I found it to be very comfortable, and walking is also very comfortable. You've got three more steps, and then a long one.
Okay, I'm going to leave that one foot up there, and both hands down about the fourth rung up.
There you go.
Okay, now I think I'll do the same.
A little more. About another inch. There, you got it?
That's a good step.
Yep. About a 3-footer.
Beautiful view.
Isn't that something? Magnificent sight out here.
Magnificent desolation.
Two men, Americans, are on the gray rock-strewn surface of the moon. This is science fiction turned into fact. Their bulky spacesuits, the ungainly lunar module, the morning sun, lending an effect of unreality. But this is very real. Televised back to Earth and an audience of 500 million people.
Bill is now unveiling the plaque.
For those who haven't read the plaque, we'll read the plaque that's on the front landing gear of this LAM. There's two hemispheres, one showing each of the two hemispheres of Earth. Underneath it says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. It came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States."
Houston, Columbia, 9, gain, over.
Columbia, this is Houston reading you loud and clear, over.
Yeah, reading you loud and clear. How's it going?
Roger, the EVA is progressing beautifully. I believe they're setting up the flag now.
Great.
I guess you're about the only person around that doesn't have TV coverage of the scene.
That's all right. I don't mind a bit. How is the quality of the TV?
Oh, it's beautiful, Mike. It really is.
Oh, geez, that's great. Is the lighting halfway decent?
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar
surface. That's beautiful. Just beautiful.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. Can we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please? Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you, over.
That would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with Americans in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this Earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir.
Buzz, this is Houston. It's about time for you to start your EVA closeout activities.
Roger.
So let's press on with getting the close-up camera magazine and closing out of the sample return container. You're running a little low on time.
Roger.
We want to keep a good margin in those portable life support systems.
Adios, amigo.
Hey.
Anything more before I head on up, Bruce?
Negative. Head on up the ladder, Buzz.
Okay, I'm heading on in.
Okay.
Neil, this is Houston. Did you get the Hasselblad magazine?
Yes, I did. And we got about, I'd say, 20 pounds of carefully selected, if not documented, samples.
Houston, Roger. Well done, out.
Now start arching your back. That's good. Plenty of room. There, I'm right. Arch your back a little, your head up against. Roll right just a little bit. Head down. And in good shape.
Thank you.
Now move your foot and I'll get the hatch.
Okay.
Okay, the hatch is closed and latched. And verified secure.
The hatch is closed. Man has left his footprints on the surface of the moon. It's day 6 in the flight log of Apollo 11, 124 hours and 18 minutes. A countdown begins at Tranquility. It's time to take off. At the Kennedy Spaceport, this type of operation is manned by thousands of people. At Tranquility Base, Armstrong and Aldrin are alone. This is their moment of truth. The equipment must work.
Coming up on 2 minutes. Mark, minus two minutes.
That's your guidance steering in the ag. Okay, master arm on.
Guidance reports both navigation systems on Eagle are looking good.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, port stage, engine arm ascent, proceed. Beautiful. 26, 36 feet per second up. Very smooth. Very quiet ride. There's that one crater on there.
1,000 feet high, 80 feet. For second vertical rise.
Eagle Houston, request manual start override. Roger.
2,600 feet altitude, 130 feet vertical rise rate.
A little bit of slow wallowing back and forth. Not very much thruster activity.
Roger, mighty fine.
That's 1,170 up, beautiful, 14,000. That band looks like it's holding good, Houston.
Roger, we concur. It's great.
1,400, 185.
I'm going right down US-1.
Eagle Houston, you're still looking mighty fine.
About 800 to go. 700 to go. Dang it, open up the main shutoff. SNC closed, pressure's holding good, cross speed off. 350 to go. Stand by on the engine arm. 90, okay, off, 50, shut down. We got 53373, 32.8 feet per second. 60,666.
Eagle, roger, we copy. It's great, go.
Hi, roger, Houston. Eagle,
you're
back in orbit.
Eagle, Houston, roger, we copy. The whole world is proud of you.
This is Apollo Control. 127 hours, 50 minutes, ground elapsed time. Less than a minute now away from acquisition of the spacecraft Columbia. Hopefully, flying within a few feet of it will be Eagle. We're standing by for word that data is coming in from the two spacecraft. I have Lim AOS.
That was a funny one. You know, I didn't feel as shocked as that. I thought things were pretty steady. I went to retract there, and then that's when all hell broke loose.
It seemed to happen at the time I put the plus X thrust to it. Apparently it wasn't finished because somehow or other that's when we got off in attitude. And then the attitude hold system started firing.
Yeah, I was sure busy there for a couple of seconds.
This is Apollo Control. Communications are somewhat scratchy with Apollo 11. Columbia and Eagle now reunited to become Apollo 11 again.
Day 7, July 22nd. Apollo 11 is behind the moon, burning its big engine to start for home. Another critical maneuver. We're waiting for contact to be reestablished to find out what happened.
Hello, Apollo 11. Houston, how did it go? Over.
Helped open up the LRL doors, Charlie.
Roger. We got you coming home.
Day 8, July 23rd. On their last night in space, the crew of Apollo 11 reflects on their achievement.
Good evening. This is the commander of Apollo 11. 100 years ago, Jules Verne wrote a book about a voyage to the moon. His spaceship, Columbia, took off from Florida and landed in the Pacific Ocean after completing a trip to the moon. Seems appropriate to us to share with you some of the reflections of the crew as the modern day Columbia completes its rendezvous with the planet Earth in the same Pacific Ocean tomorrow. This trip of ours to the moon may have looked to you simple or easy. I'd like to assure you that that has not been the case. The Saturn V rocket, which put us into orbit, is an incredibly complicated piece of machinery, every piece of which works flawlessly. This computer up above my head has a 38,000 word vocabulary, each word of which has been very carefully chosen to be of the utmost value to us, the crew. The SPS engine, our large rocket engine on the aft end of our service module, must have performed flawlessly or we would have been stranded in lunar orbit. The parachutes up above my head must work perfectly tomorrow or we will plummet into the ocean. We have always had confidence that all this equipment will work and work properly, and we continue to have confidence that it will do so for the remainder of the flight. All this is possible only through the blood, sweat, and tears of a number of people. First, the American workmen who put these pieces of machinery together at the factory. Second, the painstaking work done by the various test teams during the assembly and the retest after assembly. And finally, the people
at the manned spacecraft center, both in management, in mission planning, in flight control, and last but not least, in crew training. This operation is somewhat like the periscope of a submarine. All you see is the three of us, but beneath the surface are thousands and thousands of others. And to all those, I would like to say thank you very much. Good evening. I'd like to discuss with you a few of the more symbolic aspects of the flight of our mission Apollo 11. As we've been discussing the events that have taken place in the past 2 or 3 days here on board our spacecraft, we've come to the conclusion that this has been far more than three men on a voyage to the moon. More still than the efforts of a government and industry team. More even than the efforts of one nation. We feel that this stands as a symbol of the insatiable curiosity of all mankind to explore the unknown. We accepted the challenge of going to the moon. The acceptance of this challenge was inevitable. The relative ease with which we carried out our mission, I believe, is a tribute to the timeliness of that acceptance. Today, I feel we're fully capable of accepting expanded roles in the exploration of space. In retrospect, we have all been particularly pleased with the call signs that we very laboriously chose for our spacecraft, Columbia and Eagle. We've been particularly pleased with the emblem of our flight, depicting the U.S. Eagle, bringing the universal symbol of peace from the planet Earth to the moon, that symbol being the olive branch. Personally, in reflecting the events of the past several days, a verse from the Psalms comes to mind to me. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The responsibility for this flight lies first with history and with the giants of science who have preceded this effort. Next to the American people who have, through their will, indicated their desire. Next to four administrations and their congresses for implementing that will. And then to the agency and industry team that built our spacecraft. The Saturn, the Columbia, the Eagle, and the little EMU, the spacesuit and backpack that was our small spacecraft out on the lunar surface. We'd like to give a special thanks to all those Americans who built those spacecraft, who did the construction, the design, the test, and put their hearts and all their abilities into those crafts. To those people, and to all the listening and watching tonight.
Happy men, happy to be coming home. Day 9, July 24th, 194 hours, 53 minutes. Apollo 11 now weighs about 10,000 pounds. It weighed almost 6.5 million pounds at liftoff. The astronauts have just separated from the service module that supplied them with rocket power, electrical power, and oxygen during their trip. They are ready to enter Earth's atmosphere.
Flight Director Milt Windler has just informed recovery, quote, we're on final for the carrier.
Hi, Houston. We got the service module going by. A little high and a little bit to the right.
Houston, roger.
800 nautical miles high. Velocity 33,000 feet per second. Guidance reports Apollo 11 right down the middle of the corridor. 7 minutes away from entry.
We're in the moon whipping by the field of view right now.
Roger, copy. 11 Houston, we'll have you for about 3 more minutes through Redstone and then pick you up after blackout through Orion.
Roger.
Apollo 11 lined up right down the middle of the entry corridor. Velocity is now 35,578 feet per second. We're a minute and 45 seconds from entry. Blackout will begin 18 seconds after entry.
And 11 Houston, you're going over the hill there shortly. You're looking mighty fine to us.
See you later.
After the communications blackout of entry, we're waiting for contact to be reestablished.
The Hornet reports Airbus 1 has visual contact.
Apollo 11, Houston, through Araya, standing by. Over.
The Hornet now reports a visual contact. Visual contact from the recovery ship. Apollo 11 reports right on. We take that to mean that the drogues deployed on time.
169.15.
Apollo 11 should be on main chutes now. Hornet reports a sonic boom a short time ago. We're just under 4 minutes to landing. We will continue to monitor for any conversation between the spacecraft and recovery forces, but we will not initiate a call from now on to the spacecraft from the control center.
Apollo 11, this is Hornet. Hornet, over.
Apollo 1, this is Apollo 11, reading your loud and clear. Our position 1330, 6915.
11, Hornet, copy.
Hornet has voice contact. Aircraft reports visual with 3 full chutes. Hornet reports spacecraft right on target point.
Okay, Hornet, Apollo 11 is
gone. Roger, 500, don't
shoot. Apollo 11 at
1500 feet. Hornet, Roger, copy out.
That's Neil Armstrong giving the position reports.
I have a visual, dead ahead, about a mile and a half.
Apollo 11 at
1500
feet.
Airball, Hornet, what's the present condition of the astronauts? Determine the present condition of the astronauts.
Well, this is Airbus 1, your condition.
Our condition is on.
And so the flight log of Apollo 11 is closed out. At 195 hours, 18 minutes, and 21 seconds ground elapsed time, on the 24th of July, 1969. The three men are enclosed in weird-looking biological isolation garments, on the off chance they might have brought back some strange, unworldly disease. They're helicoptered to the waiting carrier, the USS Hornet, and met there by President Nixon. They and their precious cargo of rocks and samples and film from the moon are flown back to the Lunar Receiving Laboratory at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. Ticker tape parades in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, and a worldwide tour give the people of the nation and the world a chance to express their gratitude. This is the time of rejoicing. They have accomplished the goal set by President Kennedy in 1961.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
Their achievement is perhaps best summed up by Neil Armstrong himself when he took that first fateful step on the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.